So let's go before the Lord in prayer today. God, we just thank you once again for gathering us together. We're so grateful, God, for your faithfulness, Lord. Where would we be without you? We would be so lost. God, we would just be headed for destruction. And yet, you have intervened. You have interceded. You have made a way where there is no way. And God, we just give you praise for that. And we pray today that you give us ears to hear you, Lord, that we might be changed by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Quick question, by show of hands, who here today is rapture ready? Praise God. I mean, Paul has been speaking, all hands on deck, right? Paul has been speaking to the Thessalonian believers in a manner that is so fantastic, so dramatic, that if it weren't painstakingly, inescapably, unavoidably clear, it would be hard to believe that the day will come when the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up. We will be snatched away violently. We will be taken forcibly. You and me, we will literally fly upward into the heavens together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always, from that time forward, even forevermore, be with the Lord. Can someone give God praise? Amen. Jesus spoke of it in this fashion. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be, or you may be also. And this is the exciting, encouraging context that we're coming back into. And what a comfort it is to know that Jesus is coming again. And that the day, you know, is soon approaching when we will forever be with the Lord. But, you know, it kind of leaves us wondering, you know, when will this happen? And what happens with those who miss what we've coined the rapture reunion? Those who don't believe, who are left alive and remaining upon the earth after said event? Well, that brings us to our current scriptural reference, beginning in the very first verse of the fifth chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul writing, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Well, once again, we find ourselves fascinated, just taken by the fact that Paul was so confident in the prophetic awareness of these relatively new believers. I mean, they've known the Lord, right? It would seem, at least as we study through the book of Acts and all, that they've known the Lord seemingly less than a year. And Paul himself was with them for apparently less than a month. And yet the coming again of Jesus Christ and the nuances of the world conditions that would surround it was something that Paul sought to establish and anchor every new believer in. He says, you don't have any need for me to write to you concerning the times and the seasons. The implication is that he had spent ample time instructing them on these exact matters when he was with them. You know, today, a person, depending on the fellowship that they attend, could literally be meeting with the public assembly for years and never hear about, much less be taught on, the Lord's return. I have no doubt that Paul the Apostle would be absolutely